Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. We are towards the end of our series here on the bride's love. If you recall, we started this theme by looking at Mary, the sister of Martha, and how she was a personification of the bride that wants Christ to be her husband. And then we looked at Mary Magdalene, where she was a bride that has a deep longing for the return of Christ, to see Christ again. Last Sunday, we looked at the unnamed woman who wept before the Lord, wept behind his feet, and that she was the Gentile bride who was utterly broken before the Lord. And so today, in our last message, we're going to look at yet another Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Savior of the world. So I'd like to ask if you would just bow your heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for Mother's Day so that we are reminded to take a moment to reflect on your goodness and your provision and your tenderness through the person of our mother that's taking care of all his time on your behalf. And so, Lord Jesus, as we look into your word today, Father, Lord, I ask that you would speak deeply to us, that, Lord, it will be more than just some information from the Bible that we gather Sunday to Sunday. But, Father, Lord, it would be an affirmation, it would be a deep encouragement through all the different times that you have personally revealed yourself to us, that, Lord, these are the things that we, as a true bride, treasures in our hearts, deep within us. So, Father, I ask that you would use this time for your purpose and that you would give us all the grace to appreciate you through the scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in the Gospels, there's not a whole lot written about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But when you look into the Gospel of Luke, there are some details there about Mary that I think it's worth looking at. And I believe that when we study this and when we look a little bit closer, we will find that, you know, here's another personification of the bride of Christ. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, can be seen as another type of the bride that is devoted to Christ, a bride that cherishes every single moment with the bridegroom. You know, any bride who is devoted to her husband would certainly treasure all the different memories and all the different experiences with her husband, right? That's a devoted wife. You know, I've been so blessed over the last 25 years of knowing Cindy, and 19 of those years was as my wife. And so we celebrated our anniversary this past week, and she beat me to the punch. And she dug up from the hard drive, I guess, she dug up some old wedding photos and put them on Facebook. And some of you have seen it. And basically, you know, all I had in response to that was this cheesy heart made out of recycled construction paper from one of my kids' third grade projects. You know, I just grabbed something last minute and just, you know, the number 19 and at the restaurant, I just kind of pulled it out like it was something special. Anyway. I didn't want to go there empty-handed, but she beat me to the punch, you know, because, you know, I'm trying to say that a bride who is devoted to her husband would keep all those special moments and let it accumulate, let it build up, let it pile up over the years and keep these moments deep in her heart. And she would never forget them because they are precious to her. Now, Luke chapter 2, we find that there is an entourage of people that had gathered at the manger. This is, of course, a reminder of the Christmas nativity scene. And so as the entourage of shepherds, wise men, and other people that kind of came along and they said all these things about this baby, Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have been stunned to hear all these lofty things about this little baby that's in her arms. And so the scripture tells us this. All right, here it goes. when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, you can imagine as a new mom, you know, with all these things so quickly happening before her, that the transformation and transition to another different lifestyle, and on top of that, she has all these strangers, you know, wise men from far away and shepherds who are locally from the area, and all of them are just bombarding her with all this information about her special child. This could be overwhelming. And then in the same chapter, in chapter 2, a couple of verses down, this is at this point, Jesus is about 12 years old. And it goes like this: everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You know, each of these descriptions of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we find that there is a but Mary, but this. Right? It's almost as to say that, you know, there are other people that have this to say about Jesus, that to say about Jesus, but I have my own memories that I cherish as a mother of Jesus. I mean, one can say that Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, right? That's a long time, every single day. But then he spent the other 30 years with his mom. And there must have been, you know, many moments between a child and a mother that she cherishes. So Mary can be seen as a bride of Christ that cherishes every single moment with the Lord. And I kind of call them the you know, just you and Jesus moments. All right? You know what I'm talking about? All right? There are certain moments in this relationship between you and Jesus that were the highlights. You know, for those of you who enjoy the NBA playoffs, you might have heard this week that Kevin Durant gave a very emotional speech during his MVP, his Most Valuable Player Award, when he got it. And one of the comments that he made as he was weeping on the pulpit and everything, and it kind of stuck to me, when he mentioned about this one particular teammate named Caron Butler. And so, unlike Durant, who is a megastar and most likely a future Hall of Famer, Butler is a NBA journeyman, right? Meaning that he kind of floats around from team to team, season to season, looking for a contract that lasts a whole year. All right, sort of like, I guess, Jeremy Lin, right, back then. And so when he first arrived to the team, this was KD's team, this was Kevin Durant's team, and the team had just gone through a losing streak. This was early in the season, and the media would start attacking, you know, the superstars and so on and so forth. And so Butler wrote in Durant's locker on a piece of paper, he wrote KD MVP, Kevin Durant, Most Valuable Player. And so Kevin Durant kept these thoughts in his mind all this time. And he kept it all the way until, I guess, this week when he shared it in public, that these words were so precious to him. They went home thinking about them. And he's deeply encouraged by them, even though he didn't say it at the moment. You know, all of us have meaningful relationships that have moments to be cherished. In my office, I have many pictures of me and Grace Faith individuals, Grace Faith people, whether it is, you know, mission trips, It is visiting a new baby at the hospital or a home dedication, a baptism, or just simply doing an interesting project together, you know? And I remember this one here. I'll just show you one here. I got this one slide up there. You know, this is back from 1999. And in front of the church, we wanted to put this, you know, bulletin there so that we could put whatever announcements in there. And what's supposed to be really a 20-minute project, you know, I had two holes, yeah, just hang it up there, boom, you're done, right? It took King and I think, a whole afternoon to do that. And perhaps three drill bits later on, and we were sweating there, we were like, this was a major project now, you know what I mean? Just to put that bulletin up there, you know? So those moments, you know, was one of those, you know, just me and King moments, you know? Not many, but those are just some of them, right? And they were precious. You know, there are special moments between a parent and a child. For example, the first time that a newborn is placed into the mother's arms. Wow. That's a powerful moment. Memories of some unexpected cuteness that just happened. And you remember that for the rest of your life when they did that, when they were like, you know, a baby. Or perhaps the naughtiest moment of the child. All those things are moments, just you and the child's moments that you have kept in your heart for a long time. In a romantic relationship between a couple, hopefully it's all filled up with all these special moments as well. You know, just you two kind of moments, right? The first kiss, the 5 times that you broke up, and then the 5 times that you made up, right? All that are part of the memories. The silly times where you were both, you know, young and doing dumb things. Or that special place, you know, where such and such was shared. You know, all those are special moments because it's just you and me between two people. And these moments can be also experienced between a best friend, right, while growing up. Perhaps, you know, you both cherished that first time you saw each other in class. You reminisce about all the times of sweet laughter over the simplest things that happen in life. And you had unforgettable moments of playing a prank on somebody. You both had hours upon hours of laughter, even after years. And so you remember for a lifetime, you know, every time when they that person was there for you, when life was really not going that well. So meaningful relationships are filled with the just me and you moments. And so if that is true for all those type of moments and you know, the relationships that I'm talking about, then why not between the most important relationship of your life, the one that's between you and Jesus? You know, this goes beyond the mechanics of being a Christian. And let me just get to what I'm talking about here. The mechanics of, you know, going to church. The mechanics of, you know, serving the church even, or being charitable, being involved in evangelism, and all that stuff that Christians typically are involved with. I'm talking about something deeper than that this morning. I'm speaking about the tender moments share between just you and Jesus. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I think you do. I'm talking about when the spirit of Jesus is intertwined with your spirit. That moments in your spiritual journey that you have cherished for years. And you have placed these memories, these experiences in this vault deep within your heart, and that nobody can take them away from you. That there's no trial that's out there. There's nothing that can happen to you that will rob you of these me and Jesus moments that you have. And so like Mary in the gospel, you know, other people might have their own perspective on things, but you have your collection of these special, just me and Jesus moments that you will treasure in your heart forever. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I mean, can you recall some of these just me and Jesus moments in your own life? You know, like when you're all alone, singing hymns or singing praise just for him to hear. You're not preparing for anything in the future. It's just for the moment. You just want to do this because you want your Savior to hear this. Just you and him. Like all those highlighted verses in your Bible, you know, where in the past the Spirit spoke to you in a powerful way at that particular time, at that particular place, in that circumstance, and you highlighted that verse in your Bible. Or at the time that you felt depressed and you just knew that he was the only one that can deliver you. Or at the time when the world seems to be caving in around you, you just felt the pressure. And it was his word, and simply just his word, that lifted you up. Or at the time that, you know, when something really bad normally happens, but yet it didn't because Jesus steered you another way to avoid certain potential potholes in life that would have scarred you for a very long time. Or at the time that you were really struggling with an important decision at a crossroad in life, and then Jesus gave you unremarkable, the clarity, you know, where a voice or a thought that came into you said, you know, put it in my hands. Trust me. I'm your Father. Or at the time that you rejoiced. You rejoiced in his name for no good reason other than just that you have him in your life, that you're a Christian, that you know him. That's the only reason you're rejoicing. Or at the time that you thought you weren't going to make it, but yet Jesus sent special people around you at that particular time to lift you up. Or maybe a moment where you burst into tears and joy and gratitude because you heard a simple song on a radio or CD that reminded you of something that the Lord has done for you. Or at the time that you kept Jesus in your heart and he quieted your soul so that you could spend time with him. That you knew it was the master trying to get your attention. You just knew it. No one had to tell it to you. And so there are a lot of other forms of just me and you moments to speak of. And so like Mary here, you know, she treasured all these things and kept them piling up in her heart, and she pondered about them in her heart. They were a treasure to her. And a true bride of Christ will have many of these moments to reflect on. You see, as a church, in Grace Faith Church, we've been here for 80 years. You know, we can do all the mechanical things well. But a true bride of Christ lives for these moments. At the end of the day, it's really not how well we did this or did that. It's how much we love him and embrace his love for us. And we live for those as a church. And so for every true bride of Christ, there is a mingling between his spirit and our spirit. And the Apostle Paul describes it this way, all right? Here's a verse. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Wow. So how do you experience these just you and Jesus moments? You know, as a true bride of Christ, you know, we all crave for these spiritually high moments where we experience a closer than normal manifestation of Christ, of his presence. So we go to conferences hoping to produce some of these things. We go to retreats. We go to special places hoping to have that special encounter with the Lord. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? I think we've all done something like that, you know, because you know that these moments are so precious to you. But how do you get them? How do you experience them in your life? Well, you know, I don't really know how to answer that because, you know, what might work for me might not work for you. Now, with that being said, I think it would be helpful for us to look into briefly three biblical examples of me and Jesus moments to see how we can be part of this. And they're listed in your bulletin. The verses are there. You can study them during the week if you want to get more details out of this. But for this morning, I'm going to briefly just glance over these three encounters. First of all, it's Joshua. In Exodus 33:11, I have the verse up here. This is Joshua. Now, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You see, for the longest time, Joshua followed the spirituality of another person. He tagged along with this other person. And in his case, it was a very prominent leader in Moses. But there comes a time when he decided for himself to claim his own spiritual journey, that his journey is going to start right here. And so likewise, it's important to note that, you know, you really can't have the just you and Jesus moments if you have not embraced him for yourself yet. And, you know, many young people who grew up in church or grew up in a Christian home can have this particular moment in life delayed quite a bit. This moment of spiritual ownership delayed into adulthood. And so it's very common to piggyback off of a Christian leader's spirituality. You know, a lot of American evangelicalism is just like that. We see it all the time. You know, people would flock to whoever is on fire for the Lord, you know, while they themselves are constantly dependent on other people to get that spiritual experience. You know, college years. All right, we have a few here that's going to college. This is your classic transitional years where either Jesus is yours or Jesus is really your parents or perhaps the church that he came from. And so Joshua, you know, he can stand on his own spiritual ground now. And as a result, you know, the Bible says that he remained in the tent. And I suppose that as God spoke to Moses face to face, that perhaps that's similar, something similar like that happened to Joshua too, in those private moments inside the tabernacle tent. Next is David. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says this, all right. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Just to give you a real quick backdrop to this. This is when all of David's men and, you know, everybody got kidnapped. The wives, the women, the children. It's almost like what you hear constantly about Nigeria, you know, about the girls being taken hostage and kidnapped. And so I guess the men were left. They came home, they came back to the town and realized that everybody they loved was taken. And so everybody was in just emotionally a wreck. And they wanted some answers. They wanted to take it out on David, right? And so the pressure was really there. And so while David's world was collapsing, as you would imagine, God met him at that lowest point. That his heart was strengthened when it really should have failed like everybody else. Now, because he chose to seek God for help in desperate times, that it was this one-on-one time with the Lord where he says, you know, God, it's just going to be me and you now, whether I make it out of this or not. And those are the moments that he found strength. None of the other people. They also believed in God. David's men believed in God, but they didn't do that. Their hearts failed. You see, it was possible that everybody else was piggybacking off of David's spirituality and his passion for the Lord. So what we could get out of this is this. When unexpected stress comes in life, you know, not every Christian seeks the Lord for help. Right? Some depend on other people to get out of a jam. Whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a doctor, or some professional out there to go and fix this, where it becomes apparent that only God can fix certain things. And so it boils down to just you and God in the room. And all you have is His word. All you have is the faith in His sovereignty. And all you have is just really His grace that awaits for you. You know, David's been there. I think you have been there. I've been there. Lastly, Paul. Paul in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, he says this. He says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage.'" You know, here's another scenario where you may get to experience the just me and Jesus moments. It's when you are serving His kingdom for the purpose of the King. You see, Paul was called to bring Christ to the Gentile people, and it meant for him to be outside of his preference, outside of his comfort zone, outside of what he expected out of life, way outside of what he expected out of life. And it was along this road of trials and stress where God stood near Paul. So what does that say to you and I? It says that when you and I are faithfully serving the King's purpose, that He stays near you. And He makes His presence known to you. Because you are His. You are His servant. You're doing His thing. Never will He leave you. Never will He forsake you. You know, for the nominal Christian that lives their life still for himself, Jesus might just be very elusive to that individual. But when you and I, as His servants, are putting ourselves out there for His name's sake, for His glory, then He's not going to forget about you. He's going to be near you, just like He was with Paul, and He will be in the same way with us. Now, let me close with this. I want to close with a story about a story. It's a movie called The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. I see some smiles. Okay, good. I'm in familiar grounds here. But for some of the guys who have never watched this before, let me help you out. You know, I actually ordered this movie this past week to review it again with my kids, just to make sure I get the facts straight. All right. So if you ever come to my house, you know, I purchased it already. I have it in high definition, so you're welcome to watch at my house at any time. And so the movie obviously begins, if you notice already, but the plot goes like this. It begins with this old man visiting an old woman at a nursing home. And you're not quite sure how the relationship is here. You know, he seems to be a regular, and she's always sitting there, you know, kind of waiting around for someone to read a book to her. And so this woman suffers from dementia, and she has lost all her long-term memory. She doesn't remember a thing. Her brain just can't hold it. And so meanwhile, this old man himself is suffering quite a bit of medical setbacks. And so he takes out this old notebook, and he begins to read to her, and she listens intently, every single word. And the story in the notebook is about a summer love between two people, 17-year-old at the time, and they met for the first time at a carnival. And on one of their dates, they decide to go hang out at this old broken-down mansion. At one time, maybe more than 200 years ago, it was a nice place, but now when they saw it, it was all broken down. And it was there where they started talking about, like, oh, wow, we could change the curtains there. We could do something with those stairs. You know, we could fix up the floors. And they start to communicate and share this dream about rebuilding and restoring this mansion to its former glory. Now, after being separated for many years, because they went, you know, she went to college and World War II happened and so on and so forth, they lost contact from each other, this summer love that they shared. And so he decides to complete this shared dream that they had together by restoring this mansion, hoping that as he restores this mansion, somehow this would bring her back. And so one day, the girl, it's a movie, the girl comes back into his life, and yet she's engaged to someone else this time around. And so during this time, she discovered that there were hundreds of these love letters that he wrote to her, because he promised that I'm going to write to you every single day. He did it for a whole year. And so now she was stuck in this dilemma, this great dilemma of, you know, who should she marry? You know, this on one side here, you got this handsome, wealthy fiancé. She had a huge ring from him. And then the other side is this the summer love from long ago. Which way she should go? And so it was during this dilemma, this gut-wrenching decision-making time, that the old lady at the nursing home begins to realize, wait a minute. This is a story about me. I remember. And the old man who is reading this notebook to her, well, he is the husband that she chose. And so she begins to regain her memory all of a sudden, but it only lasts for a few hours. And sometimes just for a few moments. And then she'll forget everything again. And then someone would have to read the notebook, the entire notebook, to her again and start from scratch. And so you can imagine emotionally, this is a very painful process among those who love you here. And he's been coming for years, reading the same story to this old lady at a nursing home. You see, years ago, when she first found out that she had this illness of dementia, she recorded everything, all the treasure memories, all the memories and moments into this notebook in the event that she's going to forget everything. And so she wrote in the very first page of this notebook and gave the husband instructions, which is really a classic quote from this whole movie here. She writes, "Read this to me and I will come back to you." You know, this movie tells me one thing, that both the husband and wife cherish these special moments together. And that despite the pain that's involved, the husband faithfully reads the entire story over and over again, waiting for that moment that her memory would snap back. And at the same time, the wife so desperately wants to reconnect that she's the one who wrote the notebook. You see, Christ loves the bride despite the pain that it causes him. And we, as his bride, we treasure every single moment of intimacy that we have with Jesus. That's what we live for. That's this church, that's us, those who are the true bride of Christ. Will you join with me as I close in prayer? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge to you, Lord, that we oftentimes have quite a bit of memory loss of your goodness and your faithfulness and your power. And Father, Lord, we need a constant reminder, Lord, from your scriptures, that you are a God that indeed loves us. And so, Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord, as our faithful husband, our one and only to this church. And so, Father, we lift you up, and we cherish every single moment where we know that that was you, and we share that with you. And we look forward to many moments, Lord, because, Father, you are building up to something. We read in the book of Revelations, you are building up to that great wedding banquet where the bride and bridegroom finally come together. Lord, what a glorious day that would be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.